What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Lockdowns in China ease inflation, but that is not necessarily good news. Plus, lithium prices are way up as demand for electric vehicles grows and the industry adapts. And why some investors see a good song as a good bet.
Music royalties provide returns that aren't correlated to moves elsewhere in the market, and they can only grow in value as how people consume music changes.
It is Friday, December 9th. I'm Peter Granitz with the Wall Street Journal, filling in for Luke Vargas. And here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Women's basketball star Brittany Griner landed in the United States early Friday. She was released from a Russian penal colony as part of a prisoner exchange for a Russian arms dealer, according to a U.S. official. The U.S. is set to levy new sanctions against China and Russia today. That is according to officials familiar with the government actions. The sanctions will target, among others, Moscow's deployment of Iranian drones in Ukraine, alleged human rights abuses by both nations, and Beijing's support of alleged illegal fishing in the Pacific. Neither the Russian nor the Chinese embassies in Washington responded to requests for comment. In the past, officials from the two countries have called U.S. sanctions against their governments provocations, meddling in sovereign affairs, and legal overreach by the U.S. Inflation in China slowed sharply in November as widespread COVID-19 lockdowns battered spending. Producer prices dropped for a second straight month, down 1.3% from a year earlier, and consumer prices were up just 1.6% from the year earlier, the slowest pace since March. The Journal's Jason Douglas says the easing inflation within China will have global implications.
On the one hand, it might give us a bit of relief on inflation if we're not getting sort of commodity prices being pushed up because China's building loads of apartment blocks, that kind of thing, then it might help keep a bit of a lid on inflationary pressure. On the other hand, we have a global economy that is soon to lose kind of two of its big engines of growth, the European Union and the United States, as growth slows in both those places. And so losing China as well, or not having China as an engine, really leaves the global economy looking towards a pretty weak 2023.
Japan, the United Kingdom, and Italy have said they will jointly develop a next-generation stealth jet fighter by 2035. The three U.S. allies say the plane could surpass the American-made F-35 in capabilities, but they called the project complementary to American military programs and said they'd market it to other countries amid rising demand for jet fighters. The U.S. Defense Department said it supported the program, which is Japan's first large military program with non-U.S. partners. The Securities and Exchange Commission is asking publicly traded companies to detail their exposure to distressed crypto assets. The request follows the collapse of trading platform FTX and its affiliates. In a notice posted on its website yesterday, the SEC said public companies may have disclosure obligations related to the direct or indirect impact recent bankruptcies have had on their businesses. The note did not name any crypto asset or trading platform. Sales growth at warehouse retailer Costco has slowed slightly in the most recent quarter compared with recent years as some shoppers bought fewer big-ticket discretionary items. The company did report a rise in revenue from membership fees, which is where it earns most of its profit. CFO Richard Galanti said the slower growth is in part because of the pullback on spending and also because of the comparison to the massive growth last year in the quarter. And he noted that more high-income shoppers are coming to Costco for lower prices on a per-item basis. And in the U.S., the Labor Department will today release its November Producer Price Index, which measures prices suppliers charge businesses and other customers. The index rose 8% in October. And the University of Michigan releases its preliminary Consumer Sentiment Index for December. The Hypnosis Songs Fund holds the rights to about 65,000 songs, including songs written by artists such as Shakira and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Founder Merk Mercuriadis says a hit is recession-proof, that a good song is a better investment than oil or gold. that can keep earning money for years through streaming and use in ads in movies. The company on Thursday reported growth in revenue over the last 6 months. Joining us from London, where Hipgnosis is traded, is reporter Julie Steinberg. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Despite the growth that Hipgnosis reported, the stock price has actually tumbled a lot in recent months. Why?
Right. So the stock has fallen 35% this year and is trading at a nearly 50% discount to the net asset value of the fund's holdings. When times were good, Hipgnosis repeatedly tapped investors for new equity funding to buy more songs, and they were able to acquire catalogs at what some music executives viewed as high prices. What that discount means now is that some investors are questioning whether Hipgnosis may have overpaid for the songs in its portfolio.
What's the future look like for the fund?
So we reported some of these investor concerns this week, and what investors are calling on the company to do, whether that's buying back more stock, selling stakes in existing catalogs, or providing more comfort and transparency around the valuation process. On Thursday, company executives acknowledged the frustration about the discount and said they're going to work to address it. Now, one thing they did recently is bring in another firm called Kroll to assess certain assumptions underpinning how valuations were being calculated.
So does this mean that investors see this as a safe bet going forward?
The investors we spoke to said they still buy the basic premise that music royalties provide returns that aren't correlated to moves elsewhere in the market, and that they can only grow in value as how people consume music changes. The investors said they love the catalogs that Hipgnosis has bought. And more fundamentally, many of them believe that music has become like a utility, something you're not going to give up even as inflation rises. That said, there are still these concerns about valuation, and we'll have to see how those are addressed in coming months.
That is reporter Julie Steinberg in London. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
And coming up, the roaring demand for the metal used in batteries is changing the way the market works. What is going on with lithium? That is after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The price of lithium has soared along with demand for electric vehicles. The metal is used in EV batteries and the batteries in many electronic gadgets. The price of a ton of lithium last month was 3 times higher than it was a year ago. But Rhiannon Hoyle says many lithium miners missed out on the boom. She's a reporter who covers the mining industry for the Journal from her base in Adelaide, Australia. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Rhiannon, these companies who missed out, they lost out because of the way lithium was sold, right?
That's right. So for producers and suppliers of lithium, this is effectively a specialty chemical rather than a commodity. It's tailored to a manufacturer's specific needs, and supply arrangements have always been struck between buyers and sellers behind closed doors at confidential prices. So for buyers, that meant that they always had certainty over their spend for the year ahead, and sellers knew how much they were going to be earning, helping them to make investment decisions. But, and the CEO of Philadelphia-based producer Livent, Paul Graves, spelled this out really well on a recent earnings call. That model only really works when there's not too much tension over prices. And clearly, after a surge in lithium demand and so-called spot market prices for immediate sales this year to record highs, that's no longer the case.
So what's changing?
So the industry is now shifting to what they would refer to as, say, market-led pricing. So instead of locking in prices in annual supply negotiations, say, for a year at a time at a price determined behind closed doors, supply deals are now being tied to spot indices. So these are reference prices that have been developed in recent years by independent price reporting agencies. And companies are opting to sign contracts based on those prices, most commonly at the moment on a quarterly basis, but sometimes even on a monthly or weekly basis. And that means that future prices paid for lithium are going to rise and fall more frequently according to changes in global supply and demand.
Are they doing it now because of this run in the price?
That's right. So after the run-up in prices to record highs this year, producers realised that the traditional way of pricing lithium isn't working for them anymore, especially given the expectations for strong demand in the long run, thanks to electric vehicles and demand for batteries more broadly. So many producers this year missed out on a lot of the benefits of that tripling in lithium prices because they had most of their production locked in at much lower rates. So for example, major producer Albemarle last year was selling as much as 90% of its lithium under fixed price contracts. It's now selling 65% of its contracts under some form of market-led pricing, as well as another 15% into the spot market.
It sounds like bringing the market out into the public's eye is a good thing. But what does this actually mean for producers, for somebody who wants to buy an electric vehicle or a fancy new gadget?
That's right. So transparency in commodity markets typically is a great thing, especially for smaller players. They get a better line of sight on what they can charge or pay for commodities. For automakers right now, they're facing higher costs for what is a very big part of the cost of an electric vehicle, being the battery. So with lithium prices at record highs, they're going to have to pay more for the lithium that they're buying as contract prices catch up with the record high prices that are being paid in that sort of physical spot market for immediate sales right now. But it isn't all bad news, because just as they're exposed to rising prices, the shift toward this sort of market-led pricing model means that they're also not locked into overpaying for lithium as and when prices of the material fall.
So you just got to time that car purchase at the right time.
That's right. And fortunately for EV buyers, the next 12 months might look a little bit challenging. Prices have continued to climb to new all-time highs in November. And so manufacturers may need to pass on those price increases in sort of the months and year ahead. But that being said, the good news is lithium producers have also been expanding production. So we're expecting more output of lithium next year, and that could help to pull prices down from what are currently eye-watering levels.
That is reporter Rhiannon Hoyle, who is telling us about the ups and downs in the lithium price market. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, the holiday season can wreck your sleep. Endless parties, stressful travel, maybe more stressful shopping. But there are ways to cope, says personal health reporter Alex Janin. And one of them, maybe just to give yourself a break.
Sleep experts always say consistency is king. When it comes to sleep, creating consistent sleep schedules is the number one most important thing that you can do. However, that's just not always going to be possible. We want to live our lives and enjoy the holidays. And actually, the socializing and fun and joy that comes around the holidays can be as beneficial to your health and mental health as creating good sleep patterns. So it's a trade-off, and you just have to be realistic with yourself. Don't punish yourself. Don't beat yourself up if you don't get the sleep that you need, especially for one or two nights. It's going to happen. Try to get back on that regular schedule when you can. Don't punish yourself.
And that is What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Peter Grenitz at the Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.